As I told the boys and girls, Easter is not just one day of the year. In fact, Easter is the next 50 days, and we will have that Paschal candle burning until Pentecost comes. So get used to it, because Paschal just means Easter. It's our Easter candle, and it keeps burning because the joy of Easter keeps growing and growing and growing. In fact, we're called Easter people by many. So that joy can keep growing and growing and growing in us because Christ keeps showing up and presenting himself to us. I like the picture that Graham chose in our last hymn. It was a picture not of ancient Thomas putting his finger in Jesus' side, but a very modern picture of young guys looking at their master Jesus. And it's the same with us. It's not just happening to the people in the Bible. It's happening to us as well. Some people think the Bible is boring. Well, maybe if you're stuck in Leviticus for a while or Numbers, they can be tedious, although I'm sure our Jewish friends could expound on how wonderful those verses and chapters are as well. But nobody can read this story and not think the Bible is exciting, because it's an exciting story. It was the evening of the first day. That means it was Easter Sunday. It wasn't called that then, but we're talking the resurrection day, the first day of the week. And I love it. It says the doors of the house where the disciples met were locked because they were fearful. They saw what happened to Jesus, the most gruesome death that the Romans could figure out, to kill somebody off and be a warning to everybody else. This is what happens when you do something that makes us angry. And when you say that you are God, that there's another God other than Caesar, you can expect to be crucified. So we can understand why the disciples were fearful and behind locked doors. But guess who shows up? He doesn't beat down the door. He doesn't have a key to it. He just shows up in the midst of them. Jesus came and stood among them. This is the resurrected Jesus that they have not seen since probably Thursday night, since all of them, except for John, were too fearful to even go to the cross and see Jesus crucified. So this is the first time they've seen him. And he's come and stood among them. That's why we come down and read the gospel in the midst of people, because we're reading the words of Jesus, and we need to know that he is in the midst of us, because we are Easter people. He stood in the midst of us. And Jesus said to them again, because he had said it on Thursday evening, peace be with you. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for that shalom of God. Isn't that what all of us are looking for too? In our personal lives, in the lives of our country, in the lives of the world, in the lives of our families, we just want to be able to live in peace, to live in God's shalom. So that's the first thing he says to them. I'm here again to give you my peace. Some of us need to hear that message every single day, because we have things that bother us and keep us fearful sometimes every single day of our lives. I'm reading Matthew Perry's book, if you remember him from Friends, he just died recently. And It's really hard. I'm listening to it. It's his voice. And they put him on barbiturates when he was 8 months old because he cried a lot. And you can see that just set the pattern for his life. He was always fearful, because that had happened to him as a little baby. We don't know why some people are fearful, but they are. And the first thing Jesus says to them and to us is, peace. I bring you my peace. I am the Prince of Peace. And we need that peace, don't we? Peace be with you. What does he say next? Wow. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Okay, these are fearful guys. The door is still locked. Jesus didn't unlock the door. He just came and stood in the midst of them. And he's telling them, I want you to go out now and share my message. How's that going to happen? How is that going to happen with us as well if we're still fearful? First of all, we do need Jesus' peace. And then he says, how are you going to get that peace? He tells them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. We cannot get over being fearful unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. To have that peace, to have that boldness, to speak God's word to others, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And with that power comes forgiveness. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain them, they are retained. Now, that can be controversial, but I think it means retained in our own bodies. If we don't forgive others, we carry that burden within us. God can forgive them, but we won't be part of that picture. So when we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us and God's peace that the Holy Spirit brings, we can be forgiving people and we can share that forgiveness with others. And then I like it because Jesus actually says to them, you want to see my hands? You want to see the scars? Do you want to see my side where the Roman soldier thrust that sword? He gives evidence of his scars, of his wounds. He knows that sometimes we need that reassurance. This is our wounded healer. He's back. He's kept the scars. You'd think in his resurrected body, he would have gotten rid of them. I don't need that mark in my hand anymore, my feet and my side. But no, when he comes back with those wounds. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah says, by his wounds, we are healed. Part of that journey of peace and the Holy Spirit coming to us and being able to forgive is being healed of our own wounds. And we are healed by Jesus' wounds. And he knew they needed to see that. Great story, eh? What a way to have Easter Sunday. But someone's missing. Probably some of our favorite disciples named Thomas. Good old Thomas is not there with them. We don't know where he went. We don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was out buying groceries. Maybe he'd already gone back home. And he wasn't there. So you can imagine the disciples' excitement as they tell him, we've seen the risen Lord. He's come and he's appeared to us. Thomas was just overjoyed. Was he? No. He got his nickname, Doubting Thomas, because he didn't believe them. These were guys he'd hung out with for 3 years. This was Thomas, who had seen all of Jesus' miracles, and yet he did not believe. I bet they told him, we saw his marks. Because I can't imagine why he'd say what he says next if they hadn't told him that Jesus showed him his hands and his side and his feet. Because he says, unless I see unless I see it, I'm not going to believe it. Some of us probably have friends like that too, don't we? Well, show me a miracle and I'll believe. Yeah, I bet you can't. Bet you can't. I don't know. I have friends like that. You just have to love them and hope the Lord will somehow appear to them at some point. Or maybe our loving nature and our forgiving nature will bring them. But unless I see evidence, I'm not going to believe. And that was Thomas. A whole week goes by. We're not told of any other appearances of Jesus. A whole week goes by. I bet that was a really, really long week for Thomas. Because you know what it's like when you have friends that have exciting news and they're all happy and you're kind of, well, nothing exciting's ever happened to me. That must have been a long week. But we're told a week later, again, it's a Sunday, a week later, his disciples were again in the house. And this time, Thomas was with them. And we're told, this time the doors aren't locked. This time the door is just shut. I think that's interesting that John tells us that. Not locked doors anymore, but still shut. And what does Jesus do? He comes among them again. He doesn't have to break down the door. He doesn't have to look for his key in his, well, I don't know. I guess they had pockets back then too. No, he just comes and he stands in the midst of them. And he says the same thing over again. Peace be with you. We do need to hear it over and over and over, don't we? We need that peace that only God can bring. And then he goes right to Thomas. And he says to him, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Put your finger here and see my hands. Don't be doubting, but believe. He gave Thomas what Thomas needed. And even though most pictures we see of Thomas that have been painted down through the ages, they show him with his, you know, he's put his finger right in Jesus' side. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, he immediately says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. The greatest acclamation, actually, in the New Testament. No one else in the New Testament has actually said those words. My Lord and my God. This is the one that's going to be Thomas's master, who's going to be the one in charge of Thomas's life for the rest of his life. And not just his Lord, but also God. God Almighty. For a Jewish person to say that, to equate a human with the Godhead, if it wasn't true, it would be blasphemy. And yet, this is what Thomas says. Doubting Thomas becomes Thomas the believer. Doubting Thomas becomes what his real name is in the Bible, Thomas the twin. Maybe he's the twin of us. Maybe we need to see Jesus afresh, too. But Jesus has a word for us in these scriptures, not just Thomas. He says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's us. We are going by someone else's words. Words that are written in the Bible, but Jesus hasn't appeared to us in that bodily form. But he knows that down through the ages, people like us need to know that we are blessed because, unlike Thomas, we haven't seen and yet we believed on the testimony of these people that changed the world, that wrote the Bible. And we have come to believe. So, what's our responsibility? Well, first of all, to know that Jesus is gracious to us. He calls us blessed. he also gives us his peace. The peace that he gave to those disciples, he gives to us. The power of the Holy Spirit within us, he gives to us too. And then he sends us on a mission. What a delicious mission it is, too, to share that peace, to share that forgiveness, to share that joy with the whole world. What a calling we have. What an amazing purpose we have in life now to share that story with others. It's the most glorious, important purpose and calling that we can have on our lives. Wherever you are, if you're retired, if you're working, wherever you're working, you can share this message with all those that you come in contact with. And what is the message? My Lord and my God. We are called to call Jesus that as well. What a calling. What a purpose you have in life. Christ is risen. Alleluia.